This is episode number 51 of the Fearless Presentations podcast, the fastest, easiest way to eliminate public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on Fearless Presentations, Doug Stannert.
Hello and welcome to the Fearless Presentations podcast brought to you by the Leaders Institute and fearlesspresentations.com. I'm your host, Doug Stannert, president of the Leaders Institute, and this is the podcast that helps people just like you get rid of public speaking fear and increase your success by increasing your confidence when you communicate. This is episode number 51, and this is part one of what I think is going to be a five-part series on presentation styles. As I started designing the content here, I was expecting to be one or two sessions, but I think we might have to actually spend a little bit more time, but we'll see in the next few weeks. But on this episode, I'm going to give an overview of a few of the common presentation styles that professional speakers use to deliver speeches. And then in the next few weeks, we're going to break each step down a little bit and each of the styles down a little bit. And we're going to identify the real strengths and weaknesses of each and how to design and deliver effective presentations using each one of these styles. So I think the content should be something that you can get a lot out of. You can kind of change up your style a little bit to maximize your strengths and really minimize your weaknesses as a presenter. The podcast is brought to you by fearlesspresentations.com. And I have to thank you guys for the fantastic support that we're getting on the podcast and in our classes. I got to say, we've been doing the podcast for about a year or so now. And in that year, the number of classes that we've been able to do, the number of two-day Fearless Presentations classes that we've been able to do has just skyrocketed. And I was looking at the schedule of classes that we have coming up. These are some of the classes I've been promoting for the last few weeks on the podcast. Nashville, Washington, D.C., Dallas, Los Angeles, all four of those classes that are coming up in the next couple of weeks, they're all sold out. The Nashville class, I think, is still showing up on the website as having one seat left, but I'm pretty sure I saw on Friday that last seat was actually taken. So I know we have one or two seats in the St. Louis class coming up, and we also have Orlando and Portland and Austin that still have some seats available. But Austin is filling up as well. Cincinnati, Boston, Chicago, Miami, and then we've got classes coming up in Vienna and in Dublin and London as well. In October, we have classes in Philadelphia and Denver and Minneapolis, Milwaukee, and I'm pretty sure I think the Milwaukee class is actually filling up too. So it's very exciting because especially when the recession hit a few back in 2007, 2008, these were all cities that we were doing a bunch of classes in every year. And then we had to kind of drop back on the number of classes that we were doing. And so it's fantastic to see that all of these classes are really filling up. And I really appreciate it, all the support that we're getting from you guys. So if you want to take one of these two-day public speaking classes, you're going to have to, you can only put like 10 people in the class. So if you want to take one of these, you have to register early now. So we'll keep putting more on the schedule as long as they keep filling up like they are. But if you want to be sure of having a seat in one of the classes, go to the schedule at fearlesspresentations.com. If you see a class that's available, make sure and book a seat in that class so it doesn't fill up. So let's get on with today's podcast. Hey, so today we're going to talk about presentation styles. And when we talk about presentation styles, I don't want you to get this confused with presentation types. Those are two totally different things. But just kind of as an overview, if you ask most presentation skills experts what the ideal presentation style is, you're going to get a variety of answers. And for instance, you'll get people asking questions of experts, things like, am I supposed to start with a story, or am I supposed to tell jokes, or are visual aids more critical to the presentation, or is it the content itself that's more important? Do I have to warm the audience up, or do I just get right to the point? And if you ask presentation experts each one of those questions, you're most likely going to get a variety of different answers to those questions. And just so you know, the answer to those questions and other presentation technique questions, by the way, is it's yes and, well, no at the same time. So, and it really depends on your style, what type of presentation style that you have. And so I'm going to talk about the four main presentation styles that most people will have. And you're going to be a variety of each one of these four, but I'll kind of tell you the pros and cons of each one, and we'll also talk about some other things on this particular session. This is a topic though that has a lot of content in it, so there is a good chance that I'm probably going to use this session just as a quick overview. And then in multiple sessions, probably another four sessions, I'll probably spend next week on one of those four types of styles. And then a week after that, do the second one and the third one and the fourth one. So this may take up to 5 weeks. It kind of depends on how it goes when we're finished recording all these. But let me just kind of start with a quick overview. The key thing to keep in mind about presentation styles is that every presentation style has certain strengths, and they have equal and opposite weaknesses. And what works for some presenters may backfire on other presenters. So if you understand your precise strengths, your specific strengths, and if you know your weaknesses, you can maximize your strengths and minimize your weaknesses so that you're relatable to more people or a greater audience anyway. And that's really what we do in our presentation skills classes. That's what we do when we're coaching executives to give presentations, is we want you to be more relatable. So let's kind of talk about the difference between presentation styles and presentation types. You know, they're two totally different things, but sometimes people get these things confused. So the presentation style are the public speaking techniques that an individual uses when he or she delivers a speech. It's the things that I do during a speech that makes the speech my own. So it's the style that I use when I'm delivering my presentation. A presentation type, though, is more of a purpose for that specific talk or a purpose for that specific speech. Now, for instance, some presentations are designed to inform the audience about new material. Other presentations are designed to persuade, and other presentations are designed to entertain. Those are different types of presentations that you can prepare for. Whereas the style that a person uses to deliver each of those types might differ pretty dramatically. So if two different presenters are each giving a talk to inform, then they may deliver that in two totally different styles. One might like to put a lot of jokes in there and make it funny and interesting, and one might want to, you know, just kind of get to the point and say what he wants to say and then sit down. Another might want to, you know, take some time to really build some rapport with the audience, and in addition to that, you know, maybe do some Q&A or something like that. So those are different styles that a presenter will use giving the same exact type of talk. So don't get those things confused. The presentation type is the purpose of that presentation or that speech. Presentation style is the way that we deliver it. And the styles are what typically are a little bit more challenging for folks. And the reason why is because I'll give you some good examples of this. Let's say, for instance, that you work in a big company or a big organization, and your boss is a fantastic presenter. That boss has a very specific style that works really, really well. And then when we start to give a presentation maybe early in our career, we watch what that leader does, and we're trying to mimic what that leader does. Well, we may not have the strengths that speaker has, and so as a result, we may try some of the exact same things that person did, and they may backfire on us. So trying to it's really important to kind of figure out what your strengths are so that you can adapt your style to the things that are easy for you to do as a presenter. And that's really, like I said, that's what our coaches do in our public speaking classes. We're not trying to make every single person that walks through one of our public speaking classes a carbon copy of Doug or a carbon copy of the instructor. That we're trying to find out what that person is really good at. What are that person's real strengths maximize those strengths and then minimize the weaknesses. So how do you know what your particular presentation style is? How do you know what those strengths are? Well, I'll kind of tell you how I did it or how I figured this out. Maybe you can use the same, a similar type of understanding for your own personality style as well, or your own presentation style. So when I first began training to be a professional speaker, so this is after I had already had a few kind of challenges in front of a group, I started doing some studying, I went to some classes, and then eventually I found my way into a career as I started out as a salesperson for a training company. So this was the company that I was working for. When I had gone through that leadership class, that presentation skills class, it changed my life. It changed the way that I kind of carried myself. And so as a result, what I did was I came back as a salesperson and was studying to be a professional speaker. So while I was studying to be a speaker, I figured, you know, any way that I can get additional input or additional coaching would be very beneficial. So I joined a Toastmasters club, and I did it basically just to get more practice. But I went to the class for the better part of a year, and at the end of, or, you know, whatever that was, 9 or 10 months that I went through the training with the Toastmasters group, I eventually ended. I just quit in frustration. And the reason why was I had already had quite a bit of presentation training by that point. I was already well on my way to becoming a pretty decent speaker. I wasn't as good as I am now, but I was getting pretty good. You know, I'd already gone through the challenges and fixed those. And so as a result, when I went through when I was going through Toastmasters, I was doing it as a way to improve, but also just to get a chance to kind of practice somewhere. And the first time I gave a formal speech in the club, it was perfect. I did very well. I got great feedback. But as I progressed through the speeches in the club, I began to notice something was a little odd. The feedback that I was getting was strange, you know, because after going through training with a couple of different organizations at that point and really improving as a speaker, I noticed that some of the things that those professional speaking coaches had told me were the exact opposite of what some of the guys in the Toastmasters group were telling me. You know, like for instance, I give you a great example. Like for instance, one of the things that my first public speaking coach ever told me was, Doug, you have a tremendous amount of energy. You have a tremendous amount of enthusiasm. It makes the audience really want to listen to your presentation, right? And so I'm thinking, oh, wow, yeah, somebody finally noticed. And I was excited that hey, that was actually a strength because I could see that in myself. Whereas one of the times that I was going through the Toastmasters, you know, one of the grammarians or whatever he was at the time was telling me that, hey, I needed to slow down and really pace myself. And that was the exact opposite feedback of what I was getting from the public speaking coach. And I didn't think any much of it. And I didn't really realize what was going on until years later, after I'd been a presentation coach for, my guess would be maybe three or four years before it finally hit me what was going on in that situation. And basically, it turns out that the people that were coaching me, especially when I was going through the Toastmasters group, they were providing feedback for me based on what worked for them. So they were looking at the ways that they improved, and they were trying to coach me to do the same thing, and our speaking styles were totally different. So as a result, the things that they were trying to get me to do weren't really in my wheelhouse. They weren't the things that were going to make me a much better speaker. And the way that I figured this out, it had nothing to do with Toastmasters, by the way. It had to do with going through additional public speaking classes and watching professional trainers actually do this. 9 times out of 10, if you go to a public speaking class, if that person hasn't been really, really well trained as a speaking coach, there's a good chance that whoever is teaching that speaking class is most likely going to try to get you to do what works for them. And so they're trying to make you a carbon copy of them because, hey, it worked for me, it'll work for you, right? And if you don't understand the different aspects of different presentation styles, this can be a little challenging. One of the things that I kind of figured out back then as well, you know, as I kind of did this a little while, is that Let me give you another example. So years later, after I'd been coaching for about a year or so, maybe a year and a half, one of my class members, one of the guys that I was coaching to be a better speaker, actually said that he had been going to a Toastmasters group for 2-3 years, and it had really helped him, and he invited me to come out. And I said, well, okay, I'll give it another shot, because I did know that Toastmasters was a fantastic organization, and it would get really, really good results. And I figured I just had a bad experience. So, and the second club that I went to was fantastic. Basically, I walked into that and they were giving me great feedback. Like I said before, and the other one was not in my wheelhouse. This one definitely was. The style that the people in that group was using was very similar to my own. High energy, enthusiasm, making it fun. You know, getting real practical kind of information out to people in a very short period of time. So those were the things that I really wanted, and those were the things that I was really good at. So as a result, since they were already doing that, I got along really well with those folks. Interesting enough, though, was that I probably would have progressed faster if I'd have stayed with the other group. The reason why is because they were doing things that were uncomfortable for me. They were doing things that were not necessarily my strengths, and so it would have been a better way for me to shore up my weaknesses. So just so you know, that's kind of where we're going here. So because the reason I want to tell you that right now is that I don't want you to think that the best way to become better at speaking is to go and interview a bunch of speaking coaches, or to go to 15 or 20 different Toastmasters groups and try to figure out one that fits your style, because that's the exact opposite of what we're going to get to as we kind of go through the rest of this session and probably some of the future sessions as well. So now, just so you know, one of the things that when I finally figured out how to solve this challenge, it came from a really unsuspecting place. In fact, the solution was discovered by Hippocrates 2,300 years ago. So Hippocrates, you know, the guy that doctors do the Hippocratic Oath, you know, based on, you know, the do no harm thing. Well, he was a doctor. He was a philosopher back in ancient Greece. So this was 2,300 years ago that he wrote about personality temperaments. And if you understand the concept of what he came up with in personality temperaments, it really explains how you can maximize your strengths and minimize your weaknesses. You figure out, and it's real easy for you to figure out what your strengths are and what you need to work on as well, if you understand this concept. So basically, Hippocrates claimed that there were four main personality styles anyway. And in fact, there are hundreds and hundreds of modern day books and studies based on this particular theory that he came up with 2,300 years ago. So if you've ever taken a Myers-Briggs test or a DISC profile or any of the other dozens or hundreds of different personality temperament tests that are out there, then you were experiencing the modern day version of Hippocrates' theory. And when I first began training instructors to teach public speaking classes, I realized that I needed a way because I had figured out how to coach people, but it was much more difficult for me to teach a new instructor how to do what I'd been doing for the last 10 years or so at that point. So I had to find an easier way to get a brand new instructor, somebody who didn't have as much experience as I did, to be able to help a new speaker or a nervous speaker anyway, identify what his or her real strengths are. And the way that I kind of figured it out was, hey, I know the personality temperaments is kind of what I've been doing. I've been doing a lot of study with that. So I would teach them how to do the personality temperament stuff. And early on in the classes, when I was bringing on new instructors and teaching them, one of the things that we were doing was we were purchasing some of these pre-made personality temperament tests. You've probably taken them at your company or your organization. You've probably taken them somewhere in your life where they kind of tell you what your real strengths are. And there's all kinds of different ones. There's colors and there's animals and there's letters and all kinds of different stuff. But what was interesting about it was when I bought these personality temperament tests and had class members complete them, for the most part, they work pretty well. However, from time to time, the test would be unbelievably inaccurate. it was just odd. You know, sometimes they would work, sometimes they wouldn't work. So I spent months doing research, and I eventually traced the theory back to the source, which was Hippocrates. And when I read what Hippocrates wrote, it was like the clouds parted. It was because what he wrote was so simple. It was so easy that anybody can understand it. You don't need a test. You don't need to answer 10 questions or 150 gazillion questions to determine what your strengths and weaknesses are. You can just, if you basically, according to Hippocrates, there's just two questions that you have to answer, ask yourself in order to kind of determine what your strengths and weaknesses are as a presenter anyway. And this simple understanding, by the way, was one of the things that has made the Fearless Presentations class, what's made our coaches anyway, some of the best public speaking coaches in the world, because they're able to very, very quickly and easily watch somebody present for less than a minute and figure out what their style is and how to help them accentuate that style. And so if you kind of understand what we're going to go over for the next few minutes and then the next few weeks, it'll help you identify what your real strengths are and weaknesses. So basically, Hippoc came up with two very simple questions that will determine your presentation style, your personality temperament anyway. So basically, to kind of go back to what Hippocrates came up with, he had four major personality temperaments anyway. And it's funny because I actually found a carving when I was doing research on this. I actually found a carving that dated back a couple hundred years after Hippocrates that identifies these four groups pretty well in picture form. And it was pretty helpful in helping me identify what the real strengths are. And in fact, if you go to the show notes, a copy of that etching or a copy of that carving is in the show notes, so you can kind of see it. So, but basically, those two questions are: number one, are you more of an indirect person or are you more of a direct person? Indirect people tend to be more cautious. They would rather do things right the first time than have to go back and redo those actions at a later date. And direct people tend to be a little bit more faster. They take action much faster. They would much rather capitalize on opportunities. So they realize that they may make a mistake every now and then, but they see mistakes as a part of the learning process. So indirect people, you know, they want to avoid the mistakes. So they're much more likely to do everything right or do things right the first time. Take their time, get it done right the first time. So indirect people they're often described as being more thorough or more detailed. Direct people are often described as being more energetic or spontaneous. So what you need to do is you'll want in order to kind of determine what your real strengths are, you want to kind of determine, are you more on the direct side? Are you more the person that is faster to take action? Are you more of a person that's energetic or spontaneous? Or are you more indirect? Are you more likely to kind of pause, wait and see how things shape out so that you're not likely to make a mistake? And if you kind of determine which one of those two extremes that you fall on, and some people might be close to center. I know that a lot of times when we're doing this in our public speaking classes, we're helping people identify this on their own. A lot of times folks will say, well, I'm really close to the center. And me personally, I'm way out on the direct side. I'm pretty blunt. I'm way out there. I'm not tempered much on my directness. I see an opportunity, I'm going to jump on it, right? I'm going to move quickly. So I'm fairly extreme. But you can actually train yourself, by the way, to be on one to move closer to the center. But most of us don't do that. Most of us are kind of we are naturally this way, and as a result, that's the kind of the way that we are. The second question, by the way, so the first question is, are you indirect or are you more of a direct person? The second question is, are you more of an emotional person or are you more of a logical person? Now, another word for emotional is people-oriented. So don't let that word, you know, sometimes the word emotion kind of brings up a negative connotation, and that's not the case here. That's not what we're talking about. We're not, oh man, she's so emotional, or oh, he's so emotional, that kind of thing. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is the way that you kind of make decisions. By emotional, what we're talking about is we mean that you're more people-oriented. The people that are more people-oriented, they're more in tune with other people. They're sensitive to the wants and needs of others. Whereas logical people tend to be more kind of nuts and bolts. They're black and white kind of people. They look at data to make decisions, and they want presentations with facts and proof. So details and thoroughness and data and content is what the logical type person is really looking for. They don't really care about somebody's opinion. They want to see the study that opinion is based on. Whereas the more people-oriented person might take a survey or poll experts or find people who have done that in the past and ask them what they did. So they're using more of a people resource, whereas the logical person is more likely to use the data. They want to do it kind of on their own with using the data. So nobody's, again, I'm talking about the two extremes of that question. So a lot of times, like for me personally, unlike the direct and indirect where I'm really far on the direct side, on this scale, I'm actually closer. I'm a logical person, but I'm actually closer to the people person as well. So I'm closer to the center on this one than I am on the previous question. But so what you want to do is identify which one of those two extremes that you more closely relate to. Are you more of an indirect or a direct person? And then are you more of a logical person, a number person, or are you more of a people person? And once you kind of identify the answer to those two questions, you can kind of figure out which one of the four personality temperaments that Hippocrates says is your strength. So in this session, I'm just going to give you a quick summary of the four presentation styles that we've identified. And by the way, we'll cover more of these in the next couple of sessions. Hopefully, if I have time, we'll do a session on each one of these four temperaments or each one of these four presentation styles. Because even if you've identified what your real strength is and what your dominant presentation style is, you're still going to want to be relatable to the other three. So you're going to want to pick up ideas or pick up content from what the other three do, because it will help you be more relatable. So we're going to try to be a little bit more thorough on this one than what we have been on earlier sessions or earlier recordings. So the very first temperament that we're going to talk about, or the very first presentation style that we're going to talk about, is what I call the authoritative style. Now, this is a person who's direct. So this is a person that's on the direct side, not indirect, and more of the logical person versus the people person. So direct and logical. So the natural strength of the authoritative style is that this speaker will often look very poised and in control when he or she is in front of the room. And that's, by the way, that'll be the case even if he or she is nervous. So the inside, that person might be nervous, but they're not going to portray that as much as maybe some of the other personality styles will. Now, although this presenter does speak faster, we tend to, you know, you've kind of noticed probably on the recordings that I do that I talk pretty fast. It's because I'm energetic. I want to get moving. I want to cover that content, right? I'm excited about this stuff, and you'll hear it in my pace. And so a lot of authoritative style speakers will kind of speak that way very quickly. But although we speak quickly, we still want to develop each point with solid logical proof before we move on. So although we're trying to move through the content quickly, we're going to cover it in fairly good detail anyway, fairly good proof, some data to back it up. We're not just going to tell you our opinion about what we're talking about. We're going to back that up with a study. We're going to back that up with an example. We're going to back that up with some data of some kind, something that you can take back and say, okay, that I listened to that person speak, and that person has proved that what he or she is saying is really true. Now, a lot of times we'll like to use humor. Sometimes we'll use that as a way to kind of warm up the audience. Well, one of the things that you'll find a lot in the authoritative style is that we love to use metaphors and analogies, because those techniques are kind of clever. They're things that are we kind of think of ourselves as being better than most people, I guess, you know, is probably the best way to say it. I don't think we have a facade a lot of times about how good we actually are at doing things. And so as a result, we kind of portray that. And so that's one of the things we like to do, is make a metaphor or something and make it very subtle. There's a subtle kind of teaching along the way. So things like that are things that are right in the authoritative styles technique anyway. This style, it really adapts to it. In addition to that, though, the main weakness that we have is that a lot of times the audience will sometimes be offended by our delivery style. So we're not the most people-oriented. And so there's probably sometimes, especially if you've been listening to the podcast or you've been listening or watching my videos on YouTube, if you've listened to me speak at least 3, 4, 5 times, you probably noticed at least a half dozen things that I've said that just totally just offended you. You're like, oh my gosh, that guy's an idiot, right? Or man, that guy's really blunt, that kind of thing. So that's one of the real deficiencies that we have is that sometimes the listeners may, you know, kind of describe us as being condescending or overly blunt. And so the major strengths are that we tend to carry ourselves very well. We're seen as being authoritative and in control when we're in front of a group. But, you know, people skills are not necessarily our greatest strength anyway. It's one of our bigger weaknesses. So the second style that we're going to cover here is what I call the energetic style. So this is the person that's also direct, just like the authoritative style. It's on the direct side, but more of an emotional type person or people-oriented type person versus logic. So they make every meeting fun. The energetic style, fun, high energy, charismatic, so that they have a natural enthusiasm when they present. They tend to speak quickly, just like the authoritative person does. But unlike the authoritative presenter, the energetic speaker will often jump from point to point without a lot of factual evidence. So they want to cover a bunch of different stuff, and they'll cover it at a glancing blow kind of thing. So they'll cover a lot of content in a very short period of time. And so a lot of times at the end of the presentation, if they do their natural style anyway, the people in the audience will be going, oh man, yeah, I'm exhausted just watching her, right? Or I'm exhausted just watching him, right? So energetic style presenters have a natural charisma, though, and they thrive on audience input. So this speaker is more likely to want to encourage audience participation. They love to be creative, you know. So as a result, they're you might see, you know, if they've got a slide with a number of different bullets, you might see a common theme throughout the bullet points and everything. So there's a lot of creativity and making it fun and interesting. Because they know those kind of things are memorable to the audience. They love to use pictures, by the way, instead of bullets. And so you'll tend to find the slideshows are much more aesthetically pleasing if they're being delivered by one of these energetic style presenters. The biggest weakness, though, that this style has is that they often deliver what I call the 50,000 foot level presentation. They tend to kind of skim the top of a lot of different information without ever really developing the presentation in much depth. So basically, their presentations are really entertaining, they're fun, they're high energy, but at the end, the audience is often saying, what was the point of that? You know, what was that for? So anyway, definite strengths in the energetic style. In fact, you'll find a lot of professional speakers are of this caliber. They have this type of presentation style. You'll also find that a lot of speaking coaches will have this presentation style. The reason why is because they get, when they're speaking, people just love them because of their charisma, because of their energy. And so as a result, it's kind of, once they get the speaking bug, it's kind of tough to go back to doing a regular kind of 9-to-5 job after they've been on stage a couple of times. So a lot of times they'll go into teaching or training or professional speaking, motivational speaking, that kind of thing. The analytical style is the third area. So now we're going to move over to the indirect side of the chart. So these are folks who are a little bit more cautious, a little bit more deliberate in their presentation style. And this person is also going to be in the logical area or logical side of logical quadrant anyway, just like the authoritative person is. The key thing about the analytical style is that because they're indirect and logical, they thrive on details. Details, details, details. The analytical style is really, really big on content. In fact, the more content in the presentation, the better it is. Their presentation style anyway is going to be extremely thorough. They're going to spend more time on the preparation. They're going to spend more time on the research of the content that they're presenting. They're not going to just throw it together for the most part. analytical presenters will deliver their presentations in a much more slow, more methodical way. And in fact, they're going to be using a lot more content. So they're going to use charts and graphs a lot more than probably any of the other presentation styles will. The biggest weakness, though, is that this presenter will often go overboard on content. He or she may prepare 2 or 3 hours worth of content for just a 15-minute presentation. So over-prepare. And so as a result, they're going to be rushing. And they may actually, even though they're highly organized and highly methodical, when they're delivering their presentation, because they've prepared so much, sometimes they will appear disorganized because there's just so much content that they're not going to be able to get through. That they have a really, really funny, they're a very dry sense of humor. So that dry sense of humor can be very charming for the audience. The biggest challenge I think that they have, though, is that they are often more focused on that content versus the entertainment part. So as a result, they will minimize that humor that the audience really loves. And so many times when an analytical presenter kind of finishes, the audience may describe that person as being rather dry or somewhat boring. So they don't necessarily have the energy that the authoritative or the entertainer, the enthusiastic style will have. And so they will sometimes have a little bit more challenge kind of getting the audience on board. However, if they're using their humor, the audience will love them because they'll say, God, that person really knows his stuff and he's funny and interesting. And so those kind of comments, you'll see that a lot of professional speakers, folks who have been in the business for a while, especially the ones that are really good at training, a lot of them will have those two characteristics. They'll have the content down and they'll also be funny. And so they do have the ability to do really well as professional speakers. So the last one, the fourth one that we're going to talk about is what we call the empathetic style. So they have empathy for their audience. So these are people that are on the indirect side, like the analytical person, but they're more of the emotional or people person side of the chart as well. So the empathetic style is that style of presenting is by far the most audience focused. They are the ones that the audience loves to hear speak, because they know that when they know that the person is going to do a good job of explaining it, they're going to be the person who's doing the presentation will typically put himself or herself into the shoes of the people that are in the audience. And so as a result, they feel for the audience, and the audience kind of understands that, and they get that. And so the reason why that happens, by the way, is that this style of presenting, they want so bad for the audience to understand them that they really want to please the audience. That a lot of times one of the things that they'll do is they'll just write out their content word for word. And they'll either do it in bullet points and just put – it'll be really kind of bullet point heavy. It'll be really basically everything that they want to say when they're in front of the group is going to be on a slide somewhere. Or alternatively, what they'll do is they'll put it in notes. And they'll either put the notes on a piece of paper in front of them so that they don't forget, or they'll put it in the slide notes down at the bottom of the PowerPoint slideshow or one of those things. And by the way, one of the reasons why they do that is because they want so bad for the audience to remember what they say and to understand what they're going to say that they don't want to forget anything. And by doing those things, by writing out their presentation and notes, it's actually it makes a disconnect now for them, because now they're focusing more on the notes than on the audience, which is where their real strength is. And that's one of the biggest challenges. It's one of the things that when we have folks that are on the empathetic style that really have a natural talent for speaking but are just nervous, that's one of the first things that we have to kind of help them do is to stop having to rely on their notes, to be able to deliver that presentation in a way to where they're able to make that connection with the audience. Because if they're reading from their notes, they're going to lose that connection. They're not going to get the feedback that they want from the audience, and that's just going to make them more nervous, and it makes it harder the next time. And so that's a real big weakness that this style of presenting will sometimes have is that a lot of times they're going to be kind of a nervous speaker. So a lot of things that this person will do, by the way, that they do to actually reduce the nervousness will actually increase it. So you want to be very careful about, you know, the notes and things like that that have a backfiring mechanism anyway. Those things that you do, those things, and sometimes it'll make it actually worse. So for this style, because they are so good at making connection with the audience, if they do a little bit more practicing, if they get some really good coaching, a lot of times when they come out of their shell, they become some very fantastic presenters and speakers. In fact, most, I wouldn't say all, but I would say probably 60% or more of the people who actually teach the Fearless Presentations class are actually folks that use this empathetic style, because it's one of the things that's really natural for them, because they want to help people. And so as a result, they tend to do really, really well. So those are the four temperaments that Hippocrates came up with, and those are also the four presentation styles that we see consistently in the Fearless Presentations class. Now, no single presentation style is going to be perfect for every presentation. However, some presentation styles fit better for certain types of presentations. So this is where we go back to the presentation style versus presentation type that I was talking about before. For instance, an empathetic style presenter that we were just talking about will do much better delivering a eulogy than an authoritative style person will. That they have that greater connection with the audience, and the audience is going to love their delivery better than maybe what the authoritative style person might do. The energetic presenter will often give a much better motivational keynote than an analytical style of presenter. Doesn't mean that the analytical style presenter can't give a keynote, but it just means that that natural energy, that natural enthusiasm, making things fun is typically more sought after in a keynote speech. So with all that being said, though, just because your delivery is in a certain style, it doesn't mean that you can't be a fantastic presenter when you deliver different types of presentations. It doesn't mean that the authoritative person can't give a eulogy, can't deliver a eulogy. I did it. I think I did a pretty good job anyway, right? Even though I'm an authoritative person, it's not my natural strength. I took on some of the characteristics of that empathetic speaker in order to do a good job in doing that. The analytical presenter will have to take on some of the characteristics of that enthusiastic speaker in order to be a sought after keynote speaker. So those are all things that you can learn, even though they may not be your natural strengths. You can still get really good at them, and that's where the training really comes in. So the key to making a great impression on your audience is to maximize your natural strengths and then minimize your weaknesses. So an easy way to do this, by the way, is to look at the strengths of the other personality styles and then adopt some of those things that they're doing and include that in your own style. It doesn't mean that if you're an analytical speaker that you should focus entirely on enthusiasm and energy. No, but if you're an analytical speaker or an empathetic speaker, if you purposefully speak just a little bit faster, then it's going to appear to the audience that you have more energy. You have more enthusiasm about what you're talking about. It's a subtle change that you can make. You can still maximize your natural strength with the details and the thoroughness, but speaking a little bit faster will make the delivery more interesting. And so you basically are now maximizing your strength by doing the things that are really good for you as a speaker, but then minimizing your weaknesses by kind of shoring up some of those things that people don't like about that particular style. If you're authoritative or an energetic style of presenter, then you will most likely want to spend more time researching and preparing your speech. And most of the time, those of us who are in one of those two temperaments or those two styles, a lot of times we just kind of fly by the seat of our pants, you know, and as a result, you know, sometimes that could be a little challenging when you're actually in front of a group. If you're the authoritative or analytical presenter, you may want to interact with your audience a little bit more. That's one of the things that the empathetic and the energetic speaker will tend to do fairly naturally. But when the authoritative presenter or the analytical presenter, when we speak, a lot of times it's a one-sided conversation. We have information that we're giving to the audience, and whereas on the other two, the empathetic and the energetic presenter, those two will typically make their presentations more interactive. They're going to ask more questions of the audience and have more audience participation. So, by the way, all the stuff that we're talking about, that's one of the main reasons why the Fearless Presentations class has been so successful for so many years, is that our instructors aren't trying to force each class member into a specific presenter mold based on their own strengths. The instructor instead will identify what those natural strengths that each presenter has, and identify what those things are, and then the instructor will help nurture those strengths. And then finally, that instructor, that coach, is going to add a few strengths from other presentation styles so that the speaker can be more relatable. And that process works 100% of the time. So if you've ever wanted to get better at speaking in front of a group, if you've ever wanted to kind of kick your presentation up a notch or to maximize your strengths and minimize your weaknesses, then I would encourage you to take a class. Even if it's not the Fearless Presentations class that we teach, get a good coach. Get somebody that can help you figure out what you're really good at and really maximize those strengths and then minimize your weaknesses while you're in that class. And you can make some big changes in a very, very short period of time. So thanks a lot for being a part of the Fearless Presentations podcast, guys. We'll see you next week.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.